Lounge this Friday night. 5311.
Are you ready?
Are you ready for the sound experience of a lifetime? Are you ready for crystal clarity in sonic bliss? Are you ready for CKUT? We're ready for you. 90.3 on your FM dial.
There is this thing. Do you realize what is? There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news brought to you live.
Welcome to Labor Radio, the April edition. You might call this our May Day edition. I'm your co-host, Stefan Doucette, and as always, I'm joined by my comrade,
Mustafa Hanaway. And it's going to be a great episode regarding May Day, the World Federation of Trade Union, Amazon. So it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, definitely. So the main interview that we did for this episode is with Maria Baruti. She's a counselor with the World Federation of Trade Unions at their central offices in Athens, and she's responsible for Latin America and the Middle East. So unfortunately, Mustafa wasn't able to be there for that interview, so it was just me speaking with her. But we had the chance to discuss the upcoming Congress that they're having in Rome in about 3 weeks. So we discussed that and also just generally sort of things about the WFTU.
And why is it important, Stefan, to like that we're interviewing the WFTU? What I mean, for I think our listeners, they probably don't know the big picture of trade union politics.
That's right. I mean, we spoke about this a bit in the interview, but In Canada, there's no affiliates to the World Federation of Trade Unions. There is a different one that was sort of co-founded by the Central Intelligence Agency and the State Department of the U.S. In reaction to the formation of the World Federation of Trade Unions, the WFTU for short. And that's the sort of, what is it called? I have it in my notes here. I always forget because they're not entirely relevant for the most part, where the International Trade Union Confederation. So that's the confederation that most trade unions in the world who are part of an international body are part of that one. Well, I should say most trade unions in the West, and certainly like the yellow trade unions and so on are all part of that movement. So all that to say, as you were mentioning, Mustafa, people are less familiar here with the WFTU because there's no affiliates in Quebec or in Canada, and to my knowledge in the US either. Although there's tons in Latin America, Central America, and the rest of the world. They're a huge organization. And so I think it's important. They're a class-oriented organization, which is different than the International Trade Union Confederation, which is more class collaborationist. So they have very different policies and a political outlook. This is kind of like goes without saying, I guess you could say. So basically their approach to trade union politics is very different. Like where the International Trade Union Confederation is sort of social democratic at its best, the WFTU is not really at all. They obviously have positions that advocate for betterment of working people's conditions, working conditions, living conditions, generally social services and whatnot. But they also have kind of a different focus in that they think of class conflict as sort of structuring the world rather than structuring maybe a workplace or, you know, a particular conflict. So anyway, really interesting discussion. I think like people, I hope that this whets people's appetite to learn more about the WFTU, because like I said, their message is not very well disseminated in North America and Quebec. So you can check their website, you can sort of start to interact with it and get to learn sort of what the positions of the international trade union movement are with regards to right to strike or, you know, imperialism, war, poverty, sort of, anyway, lots of things.
Hey, no. And I think it's a really neat interview because also, I mean, you know, the Red Scare constantly just continues, right? So that you have this whole attempt to, yeah, you talked about it like through the AFL and the CIO, and different, the sort of alignment between, you know, especially in the West, you know, between trade unions and, you know, government to sort of marginalize more radical elements in the unions domestically, but, you know, globally, right? And there's a great Kim Skype, people should look him up, but he writes a lot about the role of especially the AFL-CIO in sort of undermining, you know, left project in the global South. So
yeah, that's why people make the joke the AFL-CIA. But yeah, anyways, there's obviously the purpose of the interview is not really to dismiss or to shit on the trade union movement here, because there's very, like, I think we just have to understand the context of why our trade union movement is such as it is and why it's different in other places that haven't been sort of as beaten down by the domestic sort of bourgeois project. Obviously, there's like lots of dynamics globally in the trade union movement, so we can't really get into that too much. But the I think this gives you sort of a picture of what's going on with the WFTU. Another thing that happened in the last month since our last episode is, I mean, and everyone will be aware of this, is the vote at the Staten Island Amazon warehouse. And Mustafa is obviously our resident Amazon expert, and that's not an exaggeration. Also published an article about Amazon in the meantime since our last episode. So Mustafa, what are your thoughts of about this so far?
I mean, I think it's pretty incredible. I mean, if you hadn't turned on your phone and maybe you didn't know what took place, but I think it's pretty historic in the sense that, you know, at JFK 8, which, I mean, it's kind of like a mini city on Staten Island, right? The fulfillment center and the surrounding delivery stations employ over 8,000 workers, which is massive, right? And like a union campaign and organizing vote on that scale alone, like forget that it's Amazon, is also pretty historic, that many people unionize at one time, especially in the North American context. And, you know, especially, you know, after what happened, particularly in Bessemer, Alabama, where the retail and distribution of wholesale service union failed the vote because of Amazon's anti-union tactic. And then the Teamsters attempt at the facility outside of Edmonton, Alberta, YEG1, where Amazon was inflating the numbers. And, you know, Amazon is clearly one of the most anti-union companies in the world, right? It spent $4.2 million just on anti-union consultants last year. And so it was historic, I mean, because it's the first Amazon union in North America. And what makes it even more historic is that you know, we talked about this at the last episode, sort of the kind of sweetheart deals that these big new titans of global capitalism are seeking as like one strategy to get out of real unionization campaigns. So the Uber UFCW example, but also you have it with Amazon in Italy. But so the fact that this was an independent union that they can't buy off, that they can't tie down was, I mean, pretty incredible. And I mean, it's historic in the sense that, you know, how they organized wasn't the magic pill. I mean, it was I think the secret sauce was really that they mixed a bunch of tactics that traditional unions kind of would have gawked at, right? And so, I mean, you know, I read about it. I mean, I think the big takeaways were the fact that, you know, they included former workers, right? Like people like, oh, people can't really sort of mythologize Chris Small, the kind of the spokesperson, he's the president, he was the former worker that was fired. But what's interesting about it, he was a former worker. So he still had all his connections and roots inside the warehouse, right? And at Amazon in the US, they have like 150% turnover rate, right? So, I mean, unions wouldn't care about former workers. It's like, you're not going to vote. You don't matter to them, right? But they have all their contacts and they have the freedom. And so these guys just tabled every day for like 10 months, African fried rice, empanadas, breakfast, cookouts, you know? And they were public, right? So they confronted management. They confronted you know, these what they call captive audience meetings where they just ranted at workers for joining the union. And because they were public, which is also something unions aren't very fond of, made them sort of impenetrable. I was reading one thing where the workers you know, said it, right? It's like, we had to treat it like a political election because it's 8,000 people. We're not going to be secret. We'll never get there. And so that was really interesting. I think there's a lot to learn. And I mean, the third thing is that it's not talked about so much in the mainstream media, was that, you know, this sort of going back to the shop floor for like the left, right? And how I think there's like the estimate that there was maybe 24 salts from different, you know, Democratic Socialist America, communist, Young Communist League, anarchist, you know, that all went into Amazon and helped the organize. Right. So that was pretty cool too, that it makes a difference. Like, you know, like we gotta be grounded. And so I think to me that's historic. I think it's gonna present a crisis to the big union, right? The, like to Teamsters, to SEIU, that they did this on the budget of one union staff, the whole campaign, right? And so I think it's not a crisis for Amazon. It's gonna be a crisis for the union. And we're seeing the model spread. So now this independent ALU is now being asked to help organize other plants, other Amazon facilities, right? So, I mean, I think it's huge. And a lot of people, I think the big thing is that Amazon's going to eat it, right? Because they can't shut down JFK 8. They just can't. That's the whole point of Amazon, right? Like, they have to have these things closer to the people they need to deliver this stuff to, right? They can't, I mean, the only way they can do it is move it onto a ship, right? That was the only way off the coast of New York, you know, like, because they can't move it to Alabama, because then they'll take 3 days to deliver it to New York City. So they're not going to shut down. So I think it's a pretty neat moment, because it's going to also throw Amazon in a real headspin. I don't know what they're actually going to do, because they can't shut it down like they Walmart does in Couche-Tard in the local context when there's a successful union. But at the same time, now they can't go to the sweetheart union deal. They'll try to fight it in court, but I think that's going to be really unsuccessful, you know? So, I mean, it's a huge, I mean, it's the most important, I think, victory in the U.S., particularly in the last 40 years.
Them's big words, and I hope you're right.
I also do.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I don't think we have the episode archived on our Mixcloud, but you interviewed Chris Smalls maybe about a year ago, year and a half ago. So if any clever devils out there can find it, that might be fun to listen to. With
you can put it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, okay, we'll put it up. We'll put it up. I guess we should get to the interview with Maria soon, but we have a few announcements.
Yeah, speaking about history and historical moments, May Day is coming up.
Think about it. Yeah, so there's a bunch of events that we wanted to plug. And actually right before May Day, April 28th is the day of mourning for workers killed or injured on the job. There is, I know, some kind of gathering in Montreal. I don't have the details with me right now, and I think it's like a daytime thing, so it's not going to be like a big thing, but unions will have a gathering in Montreal. I'm sure you can find the information on any of their social media or websites. But back to May Day, IWC is doing something on Saturday.
Yes, yeah, so on Saturday, April the 30th, we're having a rally at 2 p.m. in front of Metro Park, Justice for Immigrant and Migrant Workers. And then at 5 p.m., we're going to do a cultural event at the church at the corner of Beaubien and St. Denis.
So definitely come out to that. The following day, which is May Day proper, the big march is taking place on at Cabot Square at Atwater Metro there at 1 p.m. And for the real keeners out there, the Greek Workers Association, Association des Travailleurs Grecs du Québec, where I work, we're having a evening event at 5. So if you are tuckered out from the march and you want to go sit down somewhere and watch movies, listen to some speeches, have a few drinks and some food. That's the place where you want to go, on Park Avenue, Association des Travailleurs Agricoles du Québec. So yeah, that's our little roundup of May Day activities. Hope to see listeners at these events.
Yay, you should come to all of them.
Definitely.
Come. You've been home for the last 2 years.
Let's do this, yeah. It reminds me actually of, I think it was the first year of the pandemic and they did the May Day March in Park X. And I remember how many people were complaining to me about how it went into TMR at the end, and they had to all squeeze through these like single file gates, that these gates that separate Park X from TMR. And it basically destroyed the march because of how much it slowed it down. Anyways, not going to happen this year. We're in big downtown streets, so it should be great. Anyway, on that note, I guess we should get to our interview. So this is Maria Baruti from the World Federation of Trade Union Central Offices in Athens. 8-hour time difference or something. So shouts to her for accommodating us. And yeah, have a great listen.
Ils pensent en vrai mon savoir, notre vécu et notre histoire. N'oublie pas tout ce qu'ils t'ont fait voir. Devoir de mémoire, les vainqueurs écrivent l'histoire. Nos héros s'appelaient Lou Mumba Sankara. Nos ancêtres avaient des grills avant le rap. 24 carats, respecte la frappe. Le ballon d'or bientôt Mbappé l'aura. Imiter mais jamais s'égaler. Bien ou mal, tout est question de nationalité. T'as mal visé, on mène les visières. On va dégiviser vos frontières. Ils aiment pointer du doigt. À qui la faute? Ils aiment pointer du doigt. Pointer du doigt. À qui la faute? Ils aiment pointer du doigt. Pointer du doigt. À qui la faute? Ils aiment pointer du doigt. À qui la faute? Ouais, c'est bon déjà. Depuis l'école, on est ensemble. Ouais, c'est bon déjà. Et même quand c'est la merde, on est ensemble. Ouais, c'est bon déjà. Dans le comportement, on est ensemble. Ouais, c'est bon déjà. Fais pas semblant, ce soir c'est enjaillement. C'est l'Irabicane, pas Yves Saint Laurent. Chez nous, on suit personne, on crée les tendances. Naturel, facteur défrisant. Tour de Babel à la récré, calmement. Comme le baobab, ma force est dans mes racines. Et chaque fois que je retourne au pays, je veux plus repartir. Nangadef, Mangifi, la Kahali, Nyongifi, joie le taxi, j'ai la nostalgie. La richesse est dans la culture, pas le clic. Fierté et dignité, y'a plus d'humains qu'il y a d'humanité. Fierté et dignité, on n'y croit pas, besoin d'être validé. Ils aiment pointer du doigt. À qui la faute? Ils aiment pointer du doigt, à qui la faute? Ils aiment pointer du doigt, à qui la faute? Ils aiment pointer du doigt, à qui la faute? Ouais, c'est bon déjà, depuis l'école, on est ensemble. Ouais, c'est bon déjà, et même quand c'est la merde, on est ensemble. Ouais, c'est bon déjà, dans le comportement, on est ensemble. Ouais, c'est bon déjà, fais pas semblant, ce soir c'est enjaillement. Ceux qui t'ont jugé, avec pourquoi me guider. Au départ, je voyais la rivière. Je traverse le pont à la rivière. En mode avion, tout à mes frères. Ennemis l'ont pour tous mes frères. Même avant de naître, j'étais déjà validé. J'ai fui comme la paix, ceux qui m'ont jugé. Des aveux voulaient me guider. Au départ, je voyais la rivière. Je traverse le pont à la rivière. En mode avion, tout à mes frères. Ennemis l'ont pour tous mes frères. Ouais, c'est bon déjà.
Welcome back to Labor Radio here on 90.3 FM in Montreal. We're lucky to be joined by Maria Baruti. She's a counselor at the World Federation of Trade Unions central offices in Athens, and she's responsible for Latin America and the Middle East. We'll be speaking with her mainly about the upcoming WFTU Congress happening in just about 1 month's time in Rome, in Italy. It's the 18th Congress of the WFTU. So we'll be talking about that and a few other things about the World Trade Union movement. So welcome to the show, Maria. Thanks so much for taking the time today.
Hello. Thank you for inviting us at Labor Radio there in Montreal, Quebec. And we are happy to participate.
Well, we're so glad to have you. So, because, as you know, the WFTU doesn't have a very big footprint in Canada, in Quebec, and even in North America, for that matter. Not to say that it doesn't exist, but it's sort of overshadowed by other trade union organizations. I would like maybe if you can just share with the audience, what is the World Federation of Trade Unions and what does it do today?
The World Federation of Trade Unions, it is an international federation of trade unions, as its title shows. It was founded in 1945, just after the Second World War in Paris, France. Since its foundation until today, it has been a militant trade union federation with class-oriented positions in defense of the working class and the popular strata all over the world. It has proved that throughout its history with its positions against colonialism, against exploitation, against imperialist wars, and for the interests of workers, always with the workers. We have been always with the workers. Nowadays, it has 105 million members in 133 countries all over the world. And as you said, this time period, we are organizing the World Federation of Trade Union 18th Congress that will take place in Rome, Italy, on 6, 7, and 8 May 2022. So we are in all these preparations, and we believe that it will be an open, democratic Congress with rich discussions, with useful conclusions and resolutions for all workers.
Great. So maybe let's speak about the Congress. Let's start with that. Can you explain, so this is the 18th Congress, 18 Congresses over the course of about just under 80 years. It's not that much. So obviously you're dealing with several years in between Congresses. This will be the first Congress since the global pandemic. Can you talk about sort of generally what is the Congress? Because I think a lot of our listeners are familiar with the idea of a trade union Congress. That said, I think we'll be less familiar with a confederation involving so many people from so many places. So what is a WFTU Congress like? And can you speak maybe about the challenges of COVID and of working with so many different international realities that are sort of happening at the same time? I could think of Sudan versus Russia versus China versus South Africa. All of these places are represented at the WFTU and they have so many disparate challenges. How does that happen at a Congress like this?
Yes, indeed, it will be a crossroad, a meeting of the workers all over the world. Until now, we have around 80 countries that will take part. We believe that we will reach 90 countries, the participation from the five continents. It will be a great opportunity to exchange their experience, especially given that it is being organized, the 18th Congress, inside this very difficult situation for workers all over the world with the pandemic, with the financial crisis that was triggered by the pandemic, the new challenges we have been facing, also the war now in Ukraine after the invasion of Russia, and all these all this all these developments all over the world. The discussion will take place in a fraternal spirit because all the trade unions from all countries are members of the WFTU. That means that they share the values, the principles. They are militant trade unions. So it will be a great opportunity, as I said before, to enrich our experience and to form to program our action for the future, for the next 5 years, because the Congress is organizing every 5 years. It is the higher body of the World Federation of Trade Unions. And we are optimistic that we will become even stronger and better in terms of action, of activities after that.
So can you talk about what are the objectives of the Congress? So I've looked over the document that was just published, that will be the main discussion document of the Congress. It's a very broad document, speaking a lot to the sort of geopolitical situation as it is right now and the political economy across the world. Before we get into sort of the details of the political documents and so on, can you speak about sort of what the objectives of the Congress are? Because I can understand the idea of exchanging, but do you take decisions that are you expecting there to be decisions made that will steer in a different course, or are there big in French we say enjeux, like big questions that need to be treated at this upcoming Congress?
We will discuss on how we can become better, on how we can put forward our positions that we have as federation, as global federation. We will discuss the objective is to decide on how we will move on with our priorities that we have, that they are also described in the main document. It is called thesis and priorities. So this is the change that we want, the improvement, the strengthening of our action.
So what are the main concerns at this time for the trade union movement worldwide? Because, for example, in sort of in the left wing of the labor movement in Quebec, at least the position of class-oriented organizations has been to sort of isolate the right wing of social democracy that happens inside of trade unions and try to build a grassroots democracy within the unions and try to push for class-oriented positions within the unions that exist. That is not exactly the same position of the WFTU, because these are already class-based organizations, class-oriented organizations. So I can imagine that the concerns would be somewhat different. And so can you speak to that? I mean, I know it's a big question because, again, it's the World Federation. But what are like the main concerns that animate the trade union movement as it is right now?
As you know, as you can see from your own experience, the problems of the workers all over the world are common. There are low salaries, more anti-labor measures that were passed during the pandemic, attacks against working rights, democratic and trade union freedoms. Also, we see that the antagonism are being exacerbated between the imperialist, inside the imperialist system, between strong countries. The war now in Ukraine is a bright example for that. So I think the main concern is how what the workers should do, how they can organize their struggle, so that they can have in the 21st century everything that they deserve. For example, the pandemic unmasked the ruling sister, the system. It unmasked capitalism, even in countries who were considered developed. We saw great losses, great suffering, great injustice and inequalities. So we believe that we want to give some common, we want to have some common priorities, directions, as we always have, to face all these problems for the possibility of workers to cover their contemporary needs in terms of salaries, of working rights, of housing, proper housing, public and free health care system, vaccines, free and safe vaccines for everyone, and all their rights, access to culture, all the protection of women workers, of the maternity, and all this what we need and that we can have, because the peoples have the power and they can determine their own life.
That makes sense. I'm wondering if we can talk a little bit about sort of the composition of the WFTU. And what I mean by that is that because of the split in the international labor movement, which sort of followed the creation of the WFTU, and for maybe for listeners who are less familiar with this, you could explain a little bit what led to the International Trade Union Congress. But because most of the big labor federations in the imperialist countries followed into this other trade union congress, it means that the WFTU is mostly trade union organizations that are based in the global south, if you will, or at least not in the imperial center of the global economy. And I'm wondering if that has an influence on sort of the discussions that happen within the WFTU, and maybe not, you know, but I'm curious because this is a labor body that is, I think that part of why I'm curious about this is because a lot of the white collar work in the world happens in the imperialist centers, and some of our trade union bodies even have some representation from some people call them the aristocracy of labor, or at least it's maybe people with bigger salaries and so on. So that is like less the case with workers in trade unions in poorer countries. And I wonder if this has an effect on the discussions and on the focus of the WFTU. Can you speak to that?
Yes, first of all, I want to say that we are with all workers and with all peoples in all countries. The fact that there is some trade union leaderships who are corrupted or they have the line of class collaboration, or they even support imperialist decisions of their country's government. This does not mean that in all countries there are no pure militants, toiling workers, men and women, and young people and unemployed, who really want to fight and who are honest. So this is something that we know. And yes, there is there are these there is the ITUC, the International Trade Union Confederation, and its leadership is with the what we call the Yellow Unionism. It supports the governments that do not take decision in favor of workers. that it is this is a problem for workers because it is difficult for them sometimes to draw the right conclusions, or when the line of how can I say it, when it is cultivated, the line in a country that we will find a solution somewhere in the middle. But in reality, it is always against the workers. Okay, we are not against dialogue in general, but we can see from our own experience the practice and the decisions and the action of the leadership of these yellow federations. They harm the trade union movement in the countries, but workers can always realize their position. It is up to them to draw conclusions and to continue their struggle in the best way possible for them. It is something that they have to decide. And we have confidence, of course, in our class.
Very well said. To go back to, and maybe this is sort of in complement to this question because of, or I should say, it brings up the question of geopolitics very clearly for me, this question of the ITUC, the, as you said, the Yellow Trade Union International Congress, because specifically they've taken a very, let's say, NATO-aligned position on the conflict in the Ukraine. And so this has trickled down, and you can see it here in Quebec, where the unions have released these statements about the war in Ukraine that doesn't even mention NATO. So the, in contrast to this, the Congress documents of the WFTU are very geopolitical, in terms of that they do really speak to the from the more granular, small seeming questions of the right to strike and these things that we see in the day-to-day struggles of unions here in Quebec and elsewhere all over the world, all the way into the geopolitical questions. These are all treated in this document. So can you speak to the relationship that you see between what we like to call bread and butter issues, so salaries, working conditions, and so on, all the way to what's considered less important sometimes for trade unions, and that's peace and eliminating the arms industry and so on. Can you speak to the link between those two and why it's so important for the WFTU to treat that as like a one whole piece?
Yes, as I mentioned before, there are the antagonism among the bourgeois class of centers, of powerful centers. And now in Ukraine, we have the Russian bourgeois class on the one side, the Russian government, and on the other side, we have the USA ruling class, we have NATO, we have the European Union, and there is a rivalry among them. And each government who serve specific interests of the monopolies, of the capitalists, of the big businessmen of each country, they have chosen their camp. So it is the peoples who are suffering. We are with the people of Russia, with the people of Ukraine, the peoples all over the world, because in Ukraine they suffer now from the war, they become refugees. In Russia, the workers are suffering from the sanction. All Europe, all over the world, we have consequences, even more high prices. It did not start by the war, but it became worse. Even more, the energies, the heating, everything, it is less affordable for the working families. We have all this situation. And Of course, these trade union leaderships support in their way the governments that have taken this decision. So they do not mention NATO. They might say in general no to the war without mentioning who is the responsible. Why do the wars happen? They don't just come from the sky. And this war has been prepared months ago with all this regroupment, gathering of NATO powers near Russia, of NATO forces near Russia. And it was clear that something like that could occur. So now they remembered against peace all the previous time. Why did they support these choices?
I have maybe a few more questions. Maybe if I'm missing important parts that seem to you worth speaking about the Congress, by all means, just step in. But I have a few questions that are less related to the Congress as such and more just to the WFTU in general. The first is that the WFTU is one of several international institutions that was, and maybe still is, I would say, tied to the global communist movement for like since its foundation, like the World Federation of Democratic Youth, for example. And some of the organizations that were part of that global communist movement, some of them were dissolved after the counter-revolution in the Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc. And others floundered or had trouble. The WFTU is still an enormous organization and so has weathered that storm pretty exceptionally. Where do you see the future of the WFTU? Can it, do you see growth in any particular areas? How do you see the strengthening, as you say, is the goal of the Congress? What will strengthen the WFTU?
Yes, the overthrows of the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, affected very deeply the working class all over the world. And of course, many unions dissolved and many rights that were conquered by this previous situation. We all, despite the fact that happened at this at that time in the past, we must look also to the future with optimism and continue our efforts. There is growth of the WFTU all over the world. We see it with new trade unions and trade union federations that year by year affiliate with the WFTU. And I think it is normal because we all see the impasses. There are many impasses. We all see the impasses of the situation where we live. And it is up to the militant trade union movement of each country to enlighten massively the workers so that they can get organized in their trade unions and struggle for their own interest and for the interest of their people. And we believe that the class orientation and the international solidarity are our weapons that we will use to move forward and to become even stronger. The people always can draw conclusions, and they can always believe in their own power. So we think and we are optimistic that the course will continue to be upwards.
I wanted to ask, before we close, one of the particularities of the WFTU is a very deep commitment to Palestinian liberation. For people like myself who check the WFTU website every now and then, there's always a declaration of support or a donation drive or something happening with regards to Palestine. I recognize that in Athens you're much closer to Palestine than we are in Montreal, and that may account for it in part, but I think that there's a political solidarity that is very important at the WFTU regarding Palestine. And since you're the responsible counselor for Middle East in Athens, can you speak to the relationship between the WFTU and Palestine?
Yes. Yes, the position of the WFTU and the internationalist solidarity of the WFTU with the Palestinian workers is constant, because these people, these workers, are facing a continuous crime from the government of Israel against them. There are the settlements that become bigger and bigger. The occupation, the many Palestinian militants are imprisoned, around 6,000, among them 150 to 200 children, also women, ill people. And they are kicked out of their houses. They do not have the right to express their opposition to all the situation. I mean, the repression is very hard. They are murdering Palestinian militants, the Israeli army, almost every day. So, of course, our federation has developed many activities, campaigns of solidarity, international conferences, interventions, visits of international delegations, many also actions inside the international organizations who have to assume their responsibilities because they take decisions and then they stay in papers. They do not get into practice. So we also put pressure the international organizations to play their role and implement their own decisions. They have responsibilities for this situation as well, the international organizations. We are with our Palestinian brothers and sisters, and we support them and we demand their the creation, the recognition of the independent Palestinian state in the borders of 1967, and with East Jerusalem as its capital, we demand the end of the settlements. That the settlements must leave. They must leave the Palestinian occupied territories, and all refugees must return to their homeland, and all political prisoners, children prisoners, everyone must be released immediately.
Great.
And we have militant federations from Palestine that are founding members also of the WFTU, and we continue to support and to organize many activities for the Palestinian people.
Beautiful. Well, we're almost out of time. Is there anything that you wanted to mention about the Congress or otherwise that we didn't get to touch on?
No, I think it was a discussion that had various questions and that helped to open the discussion, so thank you. I want to repeat that we are moving forward the 18th World Trade Union Congress, that we are optimistic that it will be a democratic, successful Congress that will make the World Federation of Trade Unions become stronger, and the workers all over the world to become stronger. Thank you.
Well, on that note, thank you so much, Maria, for being with us today. And obviously, in our own small way, we'd like to wish you good luck at the Congress, and we look forward to hearing back the results of it.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us. Bye. I wish you the best.
Nous étions des paroliers fauchés. Le système scolaire voulait pas de nous. Nos mères à 16 ans, elles nous foutent dehors. Je crois qu'elles nous prenaient pour des drogués. Elles voulaient qu'on apprenne un métier. Au fond, j'avais déjà un métier. Mais j'avais des démons à traiter. Ouais. J'écris pour guérir toutes mes maladies. Je suis cramé comme journal intime. Même si mes diamants sont à l'intérieur, je regarderai toujours par la vitre. Bébé, j'ai besoin d'espace. Ouais, ouais, j'ai faim, j'ai soif. J'essaie d'être humble et brave. Ouais. On t'a vu arriver la nuit, t'as fait tes empêtes dans les magasins. Négro, tu ferais mieux d'arrêter la poudre. J'parle pas d'escampette ni de perles un peu pain. Ouais, j'ai l'argentie, mais au fond de moi, j'suis un bad boy, très sensible. J'ai grandi, j'm'élève, mais j'connais que des bandits.
Fais pas comme nous, nous prends pas pour idole. Longue vie à toi, nous on va mourir jeunes.
J'baise une hôtesse de l'air, j'bois du kérosène. J'fais ni l'amour ni la guerre, moi j'fais l'oseille. J'parle avec Uzi, j'ai un problème avec les Renois qui se font des traits sur les sourcils. Garde tes conseils, garde tes leçons. J'pilote son cas vu comme voiture de fonction. Délicatesse, sperme sur le visage. Évite d'élite faciès. Mes gusta la moula, mes gusta tout. Tu tires à côté comme le caco. J'suis Martin, Malcolm, Marvin Gaye, Aston, Martinet, meurtre involontaire. La drogue est hollandaise. Une chatte après 50 ans, c'est un octogone sans règles.
Fais pas comme nous, nous prends pas pour idole. Longue vie à toi, nous on va mourir jeune. Fais pas comme nous, nous prends pas pour idole. Longue vie à toi, nous on va mourir jeune.
On sera les plus riches de l'enfer. Les plus riches de l'enfer. Dis à ce puriste qu'on l'emmerde. On sera les plus riches de l'enfer.
Mes petits rebeux vont te dévaliser. Si tu te moques de leur vœu, je te leur faire alisser. Cendrier rempli, j'écris dans mon salon. Je suis la fierté des nôtres comme le grand Mopao. Aujourd'hui je me rends compte, j'ai eu pas mal de chance. J'ai l'amour de ma mère, mais mon papa me manque. Jeune et violent, il rejoindra le gang pour faire couler le sang sur une salade de viande. On lâchera rien, ils n'auront pas de paix. Je suis OG comme Obia le chef. La vue augmente, c'est un pari très risqué. Le roi est mort, ils ont banni l'héritier. On a fait du mal, on a fait plein d'erreurs. On cherchait l'oseille et la paix intérieure. Je m'en veux, je jure devant Dieu. Devant Dieu, je jure. Je m'en veux.
Fais pas comme nous, nous prends pas pour idole. Longue vie à toi, nous on va mourir jeune. Fais pas comme nous, nous prends pas pour idole. Longue vie à toi.
And welcome back to this edition of Labor Radio here on CKT 90.3 FM. We were just listening with
Maria Baruti from the World Federation of Trade Unions in Athens. So thanks again for listening. Don't forget, you can always catch us every third Thursday of the month between 5 and 6 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Also online at CKUT.ca. And we're also members of the Labor Radio Podcast Network if you want to listen to ours and other labor-related audio content. Be sure to check them out.
And also, everyone, happy International Working Day. Happy May Day to everybody. Make sure to get out on the streets, to come to the event. You know, we're really, you know, the tide is turning. So, you know, let's take back our tradition.
Hell yeah. Yeah, definitely see you on the streets in the next few weekends. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Good evening. It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. The show about theater on the radio, from drama to musicals to burlesque to comedy and everything in between. Professional, student, and community productions in and around Montreal, the land also known as Chouchage in Ganiagahaga and Muniang in Anishinaabemowin, where we spell theater with an R-E at the end. I'm your host, Sarah Day, recording from home on Thursday, April 14th, 2022. On tonight's show, my guests: Audrey Zina Mandiela, director of Pipeline.
I'm trusting that with the kind of piece, the kind of immersive artistic experiences that we've crafted with this production, that people will leave the theater talking not only about the subjects, but talking about the fact that we need to be talking to each other beyond language barriers.
Miranda Rose Hall, author of A Play for the Living in a Time of Extinction.
And so he was like, we got to deal with this, or else future generations are going to look back at us and say, were they completely deranged? The ecosystem was collapsing all around them and they couldn't figure out how to tell a story about it. Like, what's wrong with them?
And meet Sandy Tugwood and Noah Nielsen, two circus artists who met and fell in love in Montreal, presenting their very first show together.